We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
How did it ever get this broken? How did they ever get to a point with a new offensive-minded head coach? You're 3 years into the scheme, and it's worse than ever. Literally worse than ever. It started fine for the first half of season back in 2018. Right. And really, since then, David, it's just been this sort of free fall, and it's astounding they're that bad. I think you said in your column, great column, by the way, they made a defense in the Vikings look like the Purple People Eater. How is that humanly possible?
I don't know. I was looking for Jim Marshall and Alan Page, goodness sakes. That was a bad defense. That was the third worst defense in the NFL, giving up, what, 29 points a game, all those yards, and the Bears were inept against this defense. I wonder what happened, and I wonder if the Bears began to take some things for granted at that point. Not consciously, certainly, but they felt like scheme trumped talent.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, goodness gracious, as if the news of the Bears' offense wasn't bad enough. Now Theo's leaving. What? No, stop. Good morning, David. How are you?
Morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday. Yeah, yesterday was seismic day in Chicago sports. It was kind of a sad day, but it was a day I think we all knew was coming soon. But I think it was a little surprising it was this soon and still kind of a shock to your system when you get the memo, you hear the news, and you watch the news conference and you think, wow, this is really goodbye.
Yeah, it's been an amazing run for Theo Epstein with the Cubs and one that you sincerely hoped would not end, but it's over. He's got other things. He said that he probably, you know, he believes he has another chapter in baseball, a third chapter. My God, the man is young enough to have about five chapters, right? I mean, it's if Tony La Russa can have a late chapter, certainly the great builder and the great destroyer, if you will, of these horrible sports legacies, the man that can turn anyone into a winner should have a future. Not even in baseball. I mean, should the Cubs be calling, or should the Bears be calling Theo this morning? Excuse me.
You know,
that's the first thing that jumps at you.
Whatever he wants to do, his legacy is intact. Look, he's the single most important figure of the most significant period in Cubs history. You know, a great communicator, excellent deal maker, strong builder. I mean, and overall, I mean, the thing is, too, Mully, the style was as impressive as the substance. And he gave the Cubs this sense of gravitas that they don't have without him. They have some, and they certainly have achieved a lot, and it's still a franchise that you would consider stable. But with Theo, he made them different, and he will make whatever endeavor he pursues different, because that's the kind of, you know, leader he became and is. And he's only 46 years old. Yep. But I think in Chicago, in 9 years with the Cubs, he became the standard by which we'll measure and have measured other sports executives in this town and maybe in sports, in baseball certainly, because he not only did it with the Cubs, but he came here after doing it and you know, reversing the curse, if you will, in Boston as well. So that is a, you know, that's a legacy that'll land him in Cooperstown one day.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Theo probably was a Hall of Fame executive when he came to Chicago, but there's no question that he sealed that with the Cubs World Series victory and ending a 108-year drought and all that went into getting that done. You know, it was fascinating to hear him talk about how he's more of a builder than a guy interested in maintenance. And I got to tell you, here comes another build for the Cubs, right? I mean, given the state of the payroll, of the economy, of baseball, of the reality that the 2021 season may follow a 2020 season that did not produce the revenue that they're used to, there could be dramatic changes in the offing. And it's nice that there is continuity within the front office and Jed Hoyer taking over, and it shouldn't be a very traumatic transition, David, but there will be trauma because of all the things that need being done here.
Well, while we celebrate the legacy of a Theo Epstein, you can't help but also kind of congratulate him for having the foresight here. I mean, he sees what's coming, and he knows it's not going to be good. And there are a lot of uncertainties because of the contractual status of some of the core guys and some of the realities that the Cubs will face in this offseason. And I give him credit, Mully. I mean, $10 million is still a lot of money, no matter how much money you've made in the game. And whether it was mutual, whether he was encouraged to, whether he's walking away from a $10 million salary that he could have, I don't want to say easily kept, but he could have done the job, been a lame duck, and then moved on after you know, basically leading the Cubs through this uncertainty of the next few months. But this does not bode well for Cubs fans because you just don't know what this means in terms of how bad is it going to get and how big is that rebuild, if you want to call it a rebuild at all.
Well, it is sort of a rebuild, and it was fascinating to hear him say that the primary driver in this move was the idea that they're entering a period of transition and that the person that made the call on these decisions needed to be someone that was going to be here for the longer term to deal with all the fallout and to deal with everything that goes forward. So I think Theo, in his goodbye news conference, if that's what we're going to call it, was as good as he was in every news conference, every chance he got to talk. He was the smartest guy in the room. He was the guy with the answers. He was the guy that understood the situation. That will be the case in his next stop, whether it's Philadelphia apparently already kicking down the door trying to get to him. I don't blame him. The Mets have been mentioned as a team that obviously is in rebuild with an owner with deep pockets, and Theo could go in there and do a great job. I would imagine, though, David, that when you look at the path in front of you, it makes sense that Theo would depart when he departs. You're right. $10 million is a ton of money, no matter who you are. But if your heart is not planted here long term, then you're correct to take that step back and to move forward.
Yeah, there was so much transparency again yesterday, and that's what you respected about the way he handled every news conference and every big announcement. And that was the thing that came through. You know, he was the smartest guy in most rooms that he walked into, but he didn't need to prove it. And I think that came through again. And it also came through, Mully, there's a tremendous amount of self-awareness here. And that is rare in sports. It's rare in life, goodness sakes. I mean, and this is a guy that understood that, you know, after a decade, things start to change and there's, you know, maybe a need for not only a fresh start for the Cubs, but a fresh start from his own perspective. And maybe it will be the Phillies or the Mets. I doubt it. He left that door open. I just think he's eager for another challenge. He understands that he's better maybe building than he is maintaining. I thought that was an interesting revelation and good self-awareness. But I would be surprised if he landed on a payroll in a front office in the next 6 months, in the next 6 weeks. I think he's going to probably take the time to do what he said he was going to do and kind of weigh his options moving forward.
No doubt about it. And Theo, you know, he's got kids. He's got two kids. I think his oldest is 12 now. You know, these are unbelievable years for him and for his children, and you want to make sure that you are tapped into those years. I mean, you're always going to be tapped into everything as a parent, but certainly when you think about the age of your children and the transitions that they're going to make, it might be a great time for him to really spend some time with his family. Not that he wasn't, but he was a guy that worked quite a bit. So obviously, I love the idea that he's staying in Chicago. I love the idea that he's going to be going to Wrigley next year, if indeed they're allowing people in. But I don't know that I don't know that he's going to be able to wait as long as maybe he wants to, because he's just too precious a commodity.
Right.
There's too many people. There's too many teams out there, owners that know what he's done and are desperate for a piece of that. It'll be fascinating to see what the next chapter holds for a Theo Epstein.
And he'll get antsy. I mean, you have to anticipate somebody who is as accomplished as he is with the contacts he has and sort of just the way his brain functions. You don't envision him just being content with going, you know, to sit in the bleacher bums to buy a beer to see what that kind of life is like. That's fun for a while, and you can be the best dad and family man you can be. And he will continue to be, but I think he'll seek another challenge, whether it's, you know, a lot of people will want to steer him in the direction of Major League Baseball. And when was Rob Manfred's contract up? And,
right.
And you mentioned the Bears, and I think that was facetiously put out there, and maybe by some seriously, maybe that's a challenge he seeks. He is staying in Chicago. Maybe he's waiting for the White Sox to go on the market. He wants to be part of an ownership group. Maybe that appeals to him. Boy, wouldn't that be fun. All sorts of possibilities for a guy that, you know, is 46 years old. He's 4 years shy of 50, and boy, he's got his entire life really in front of him after achieving all that he has already.
And there's another team in transition, another team that has a lot of interesting moves to make for its future. That is the Bulls, and tonight is the NBA draft, and we'll get into it. The Bulls pick fourth. And there's a lot of buzz. We've heard on the pregame show, you heard from Casey Johnson. There's a lot of buzz surrounding Patrick Williams, the Florida State swingman, possibility of a guy that can play different positions, a very young guy, 19 years old, from Charlotte, who played at Florida State. We'll see if he ends up being the selection at number four, if the Bulls move up in the draft, if they have an eye on a veteran free agent guard, or if they're willing to trade for someone. There are all sorts of interesting elements to put together for the Bulls, and learning a new front office that will really come into play tonight.
Yeah, shifting from an executive saying goodbye who we know very well in Chicago to a guy drafting tonight who we are going to learn a lot about. We don't know much about Arturis Karnišovas, but we'll find out a little bit more tonight. What he favors, is he looking at the 19-year-old from Florida State as a guy who's a versatile defender, really athletic, a guy who fits on a positionless roster, or is he going to be more targeted with the point guard? I just can't believe here we are, Mully. It's the middle of November, and we're talking NBA draft and wondering what the Bulls are going to do before NBA free agency begins later, eyeing toward
Friday.
Training camp on December 1st. Wow,
yep.
It's a weird week.
We'll learn a lot. You know, we'll get a much better feel for who these guys are based on the pick they make, the potential trade they make, the potential signings they make. So I think it's fascinating to look at how they're going to put this roster together and what they're going to do. And I love the NBA draft. I'll be in front of it tonight. I'm sure you will as well, David. A lot of fun to see how all these teams come together. And there's a lot of change going on, and we'll figure it out. Speaking of which, the Bears, you heard from Matt Nagy yesterday. Oh, goodness gracious. It's his job as the head coach to figure out why the offense is broken. So we'll see how he does that. And I think it's fascinating as we sit here waiting to find out who the quarterback's going to be as well. So the bye week will be an interesting one from the Bears.
Yeah, I thought we agreed, and the Bears kind of approved of the fact that we would not talk about them this week with Theo leaving and the draft coming. And, boy, they're as glad as anybody to have that distraction yesterday, but they're still the Bears. They're still bad, and they're still in the midst of a four-game losing streak that qualifies as a crisis, so you can't ignore them altogether.
No shadow of a doubt there. Okay, we're going to get into all of it. We've got the pick six. We got a loaded show. We're going to talk about it from all angles, and we'll start that next with the pick six. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you understand why Theo Epstein decided to step down from his role as president of baseball operations with the Cubs yesterday? What does it signify in the next step for the Cubs, maintaining status quo, beginning another rebuild, or threading the needle between the two?
Yeah, I think they're threading the needle. I think they want to remain competitive, but they need to do a little bit of a rebuild. And I think that one of the things you hear just out there, one of the ideas is that they're open for business. Right, they are willing to deal pretty much anybody that you might be interested in trying to acquire, because they are looking to make some changes and make some moves and reduce their payroll. And I think that they've got some long-term issues that they need to address in the right now. And I think that more than anything else is why Theo decided to step down. I believe in my heart that Theo, when he wrote a letter to everybody with the Cubs, but when he said effectively that there were, a lot of things that needed to be done, that you needed someone that was going to be there to be able to make all those moves, and I think that's what he was alluding to. I'm sure somewhere in his heart, Theo is bummed that the minor league system isn't in better condition. You know, when they came in, that was one of the things they really had to do, is rebuild that. And the idea was that every year there would be somebody waiting to take a step forward who could be a potential star for them. And I think that they used a lot of those resources. So that probably needs to be replenished. And that's one of the challenges they're facing.
When Theo talked about walking away and giving Jed the opportunity to kind of build the Cubs according to the way that he would like in his plan, because he's going to be the one overseeing for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years or whatever it is, I think he was sincere, and I think that sincerity came through. So yeah, I think that was the reality. Look, the next step is one into uncertainty. There's no question about that. There's a reality that the Cubs are open for business. And, you know, that may mean trading Chris Bryant or Javi Baez or Wilson Contreras or Kyle Schwarber. I think those are the guys who are, you know, you wonder the most about, given their value and given what you could get in return. You don't know where this is headed. I think they will try to thread the needle. This isn't a rebuild as prodigious as the one that Theo Epstein inherited 9 years ago, or that he oversaw building into the 2015 when the winning began. But it is a job that's significant, and he's stepping out of the way to make way for Jed Hoyer and walking away from a $10 million salary. So I give him credit for that. But there's no doubt about it, this is not going to be an easy job as they try to stay relevant for next year and then in the years that follow.
Pick six! Wow!
Theo said it was unusual in this day and age to maintain continuity while changing executives. How will Jed Hoyer perform in his new role? Will the Cubs remain a perennial playoff team, or is that era over? And when will they win another World Series?
Well, I love the story about Jed being his own guy and how he's the guy at the cocktail party that, while Theo's trying to leave, Jed is still, telling jokes and saying hi to somebody he forgot to talk to. There's going to be differences in style. I think we have seen them complement each other well over the past decade. Jed Hoyer's as likable as they come. You know, Theo was likable, but I think their personalities are definitely different for the people that have watched them grow and who know them. I think the Cubs are going to stay relevant. I don't know if they're going to be a perennial playoff team. That's the idea. That's the hope. They want to be the Atlanta Braves, right? They go to the playoffs every year, win the division. You'd like to see them win another World Series, but I think that clock restarts. And that's a shame, really, because I think the ultimate compliment for Theo Epstein comes in sort of admitting or acknowledging he raised expectations so high in Chicago that it feels like he's leaving having not met them. and that this era that he oversaw and presided over won only one World Series when we thought that there would be championships, plural, and they didn't do that. So now you start the clock over. It's Jed Hoyer's game now, and we'll see. But I think the Cubs aren't immediately in the World Series conversation next year, and you hope that the window reopens a little bit wider than it is right now.
Yeah, this is a new era. This is different. This is Jed's turn is going to be a bit of a significant change from what Theo was overseeing. I mean, Theo came in here, and I know that he's not kind of proud of it, but he did sort of create the tank, didn't he? He was the first guy to really kind of understand you got to tear it down in order to get better. I don't think that's the goal with Jed. I think that he wants to be able to select among the group and make sure that you hang on to the players that are going to be the best out of the bunch and get value for the guys that aren't. And that is a really difficult thing to do because so much of personnel decisions in every sport are determined by the group that you are around and by the role that you're in. And there are plenty of examples of guys that can go somewhere else and be a better player when they get a bigger stage or they get more responsibility in their jobs. And it's a difficult thing to know. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this works. But I would think that the idea of perennial playoff team is over. I mean, this is a step in another direction. They've got to do some trimming of the payroll. That means losing talent. That means making sure that you get the most out of the trade that you're going to make because you want to be able to replenish and come back in a year or two. But I think this is a step back, losing Theo and shifting in terms of the payroll and all the rest. And, you know, I hope to God it's not 108 years between championships anymore, but I don't know that there is a World Series in the offing. I think that it's, you know, you got to give Jed 3 to 5 years to get up and running again here before you'll know whether or not he's getting that job done.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
Theo will undoubtedly someday make it to the Hall of Fame as the ultimate baseball curse buster. What will his tenure with the Cubs be most remembered for? Is it his introduction of tanking as a championship precursor? And did that help or hinder the sport?
Yeah, I think that that's not what he'll be most remembered for. It's winning the championship. It's being the curse breaker. It's the 108-year drought. And Theo coming in here and delivering a championship. I think David is right. I think that you look at it ultimately and you think, wow, they only won the one championship because they seemed like they were going to win more than that, and it did not happen. And so that gives you pause. But, you know, tearing it down, and, you know, it was funny. That was the one moment in the news conference when I think it was Russell Dorsey asked him a question about that, and Theo was kind of like, yeah, you know, didn't really like that idea as legacy. But, my God, so many teams have done it since the Cubs, and he was smart enough to be the first one to get to it. But the fact of the matter is, I think that hinders sport, generally speaking. Not just baseball, but all sports. I hate that idea that that's allowed, but I understand it because it does work, and it's worked for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, definitely part of the process. I don't think that'll be the biggest part of his legacy. Look, this is a guy who oversaw and brought a championship to Chicago, the most elusive championship in sports. You know, the longest wait was over when Theo Epstein arrived. And so it began in October 2011 and gradually got to the point where, you know, he inherited sort of this old school mentality, and he took a private school approach, and he spared no expense, and he modernized the Cubs, whether it was technology, whether it was just the whole operation. And it was right in front of us. And so what that did was that was the infrastructure. And then he went out after the people. He's, you know, not a, every general manager is going to have a share of hits and misses and good trades and dumb trades. But he identified the people that he wanted. He hired Joe Maddon. And let's face it, without Joe Maddon, you don't know if John Lester comes. And if John Lester comes, I don't know that you're talking about Theo Epstein's legacy in Chicago in the same context that we are this morning. So he identified the right people. He made the right moves, and I think those kinds of things will be the biggest part of the legacy and the things we talk about. Even though the tanking part that he was asked about and did not want to address necessarily, that's a smaller part of it, but it is part of it.
It's a pick six!
Who's the best quarterback on the Bears, and if all options are available, which player would you advise starting?
Oh, God, do we have to talk about the Bears quarterbacks?
We don't have to.
The best quarterback on the Bears is probably the guy. You know, it's hard to say. I think we said yesterday none of the above. If they're all healthy, I think Mitch Trubisky starts the next game against Green Bay because, as Matt Nagy alluded to yesterday, when you're in a four-game losing streak, you've got to try something that, you know, you haven't tried in the midst of that losing streak. So I think they have to pivot and try and go back to Mitch, as unpalatable as that may sound.
Yeah, you know, I think that if you're talking about who's the best quarterback on the Bears, it's a really difficult question to answer because the answer is probably Nick Foles, but we've seen how that has worked out. I don't know why I feel this way, but I think if Nick Foles can go, Matt Nagy will stay with him. I think that Nagy thinks Foles can run his scheme better than Mitch. And say what you want, regardless of play caller, the scheme is what means everything to Matt Nagy. So I got a hard time imagining him changing from that. You know, Mitch is yesterday's hero. I get it. But he never really stepped forward and never was able to do the things that we thought he might. If you're just looking for change, that's a good reason to do it because the guy is more mobile, which helps you when you have a bad offensive line and maybe you can squeeze a play or two out. But it's his inaccuracy, it's his inability. You know, when we say pass on the question, pass being the key word, nobody on this roster is a very good passer, sadly. So I don't think the answer to the question is either of these guys. And it's certainly not Tyler Bray, despite his many years of floating around the system. But I think that, you know, if you're being true to your scheme first mentality, then you would have to say Nick Foles. But it wouldn't surprise me if they went to Mitch.
That is a pick six.
The Bulls reportedly showed interest in trading for Celtics guard Kemba Walker. Another report linked the Bulls to 6'8 wing Patrick Williams of Florida State, who's 19 and was the ACC Sixth Man of the Year. Does anybody know what to expect from tonight's NBA draft, and what is more likely, the Bulls trading up, trading down, or staying at number 4?
Yeah, I think this is fascinating. I think that Kemba Walker would look great in a Bulls uniform. I'd be all over that kind of a move. Patrick Williams, you know, you look into him and you think about him, and he is really a good selection for the positionless roster. I mean, the guy is a two-way player. We have no idea how good he can be because he is so young in his career and, you know, played a year of college basketball, led his Charlotte high school team to the state championship in a state where they produce a pretty good basketball player, so you feel good about where he's from. And he's 6'8", 6'9", maybe, depending on who's measuring, 230 pounds. He's a guy that really kind of fits in that mode of swing player. And it's a position where they obviously don't have the immediate need, but Otto Porter Jr. doesn't seem like a long-term Bull. This will be his final season. He picked up the option, shocker, and he'll be back for another year with the Bulls. But you would wonder how he's going to be evaluated. And I find Williams intriguing. And if AK is the kind of guy that can recognize the player and turn him into something, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I like the idea of Kemba Walker. Boy, but there's only one basketball, so I don't know how he would fit with Zach LaVine and Coby White and other. I don't know what you would give up to get him. Intriguing idea, though. Patrick Williams, definitely 19 and a lot of growth to go. He's got a 6'11 wingspan. He probably fits the prototype of the kind of athlete that AK wants to put on this roster. We'll find out. You know, the other guys you'll hear tonight, they could trade down possibly Haliburton and Killian Hayes, guys who would give them that lead guard they're looking for. Denny Avdija could be there at 4 if you stay there. The Israeli 20-year-old. I think these are all young guys with high ceilings. So we'll find out more about AK tonight. But I guess if I were to project and predict, I think they stay at four and they take somebody whose ceiling is higher than their floor, and that's the kind of guy they're looking for tonight.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Given a tumultuous past 6 weeks in Chicago sports, which front office among the city's five major pro sports teams would you say is the most stable, predictable, and consistent?
Wow, we got probably more time to devote to this later, but I don't know what fan base is satisfied right now. And it could be conceivably the fan base that is coming off the 22-win season, back-to-back 22-win season, probably the Bulls, because they have seen the reset button hit, and they're full of optimism because the reality hasn't been ruined in the way that the other four teams in town are looking at it like, oh, God, if you're a Cubs fan, did you wake up this morning with a sense of optimism? I don't know that you did. How about a Sox fan? I don't know that you did. Hawks? Got rid of Corey Crawford, and you're moving forward with Stan Bowman? And then Bears, they're at the bottom of the list. So, I don't know. Bulls.
It's a good question. And I think you can't answer Bulls because we don't know enough yet. I mean, we have change there, but we don't. You know, when you start talking about predictable and consistent, who knows? They're completely unpredictable. We have no idea what, we have a sense that they hired the right guy and we're impressed by everything we've heard, but we don't have a track record yet, so it's very difficult to say them. You know, the White Sox might have been the answer to this question had it not been for Tony La Russa, had the owner not jumped in and done something that was just unconventional and kind of out of left field and utterly confusing. So I think that the White Sox have made this weird shift in a new direction, which prevents them from being the answer to the question. You're right. I mean, in a world of Stan Bowman deciding to rebuild the Blackhawks, it is the Bears that are dead last in this. They are really, I don't know anyone in town that feels a great sense of confidence about their reliability, stability, predictability. I think people worry about their ability. So, by process of elimination, I guess we have to go with the Bulls. But maybe the answer is the Cubs. Maybe when you really break it down and think about it, you know, Tom's not going anywhere, and Jed moves into Theo's chair. And I'm sure that, you know, at least there is predictability. At least there is an understanding of consistency and stability. So they might actually be the answer. All right, we will. And that's saying something when you lose a Hall of Fame executive.
That's right. Goodbye, Theo. We're stable.
But it's not saying anything smart. John Heyman is going to join us next, and he'll let us know where Theo winds up, what his legacy will be, what we will always remember about the job that he did. And I believe it's called The Ring. But first, let's get to Kevbo with a scoreboard update.
John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. @ John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. John Heyman joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. John, good morning. How are you?
Morning, John.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. You know, everybody in town a little surprised. I think we were all steeled for the departure of Theo, but it did come up pretty quickly. It did kind of just happen, and as you sat there and you heard him say his goodbyes, you couldn't help but feel like you were losing something very valuable. There's no way around it.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the greatest baseball executives ever. Broke two incredible curses. You guys are familiar with the 108 years in Chicago and obviously 86 in Boston. Incredible career. And it's surprising. Excuse me, my voice this morning. Surprising, yet not surprising in a way. We knew that his time was coming to an end, that it was pretty clear. And he's not the type of guy to linger. You know, he's said these jobs have shelf lives, and it felt like he was nearing the end here. So shocking, but not shocking, really.
You know, John, Theo Epstein's place in Chicago baseball history is secure forever. His legacy in baseball overall, though, is sort of incomplete. We don't know what's going to happen next. He alluded to it yesterday. I would be surprised if he jumped back into running a team immediately, although he didn't rule that out. What are you hearing, and what do you expect?
Yeah, I would take everything he said at face value. I believe it. I do think he stepped away because it was time. I do think it's clearly his decision. And, you know, he's an unusual guy who's going to walk away from money. We've seen very few ball players do it, and he had a star ball player salary, about $10 million. So I believe that he just stepped away because he felt that it was his time to do that. And I believe he does not want to jump back in immediately, that he's going to reevaluate, think about things some more. He's obviously an introspective guy anyway, but spend time with his family and figure it out from there. So, you know, I don't think he's going to jump in. The Phillies fans are excited. Mets fans are excited, and I think it's needless. I don't think there's any chance that that's going to happen. Not immediately. I mean, is it possible he'll run another team down the road? Yeah, it's possible. Excuse me. I've heard that the Phillies have talked about it, do have interest, but I don't see him doing that. I've also heard Seattle. I think we talked about this last week. Seattle and Philly are the teams that I know have some serious, sincere interest, but it's not going to happen this year. I think in the end, he may decide to be part of an ownership group, something we've also talked about in the past. You never know. Maybe at some point, not in the near future, because Rob Manfred has the complete support, I think, of all the owners, that Theo Epstein could be a commissioner someday, but that's in a distant future.
Yeah, that I think that, John, would be fascinating to see, because Theo always wins the news conference. Even when he's delivering bad news, he comes across as transparent. He comes across as a guy that isn't trying to hide anything. He's sort of an anti-Rob Manfred. No offense to Rob, but but Theo in charge of baseball is fascinating. Theo also, you know, you can argue he created some of the problems they have in the game. When he talks about some of the problems and some of the ways to fix them, I'm sure he has great ideas on that. That would be such a high-level hire, you almost don't think that the owners would want to make it, because he'd be, you know, you're hiring a guy who's smarter than you, and that's always a problem.
Well, I'll leave the Rob Manfred comment out of there, because I do work for Rob Manfred at MLB Network. But in terms of Theo, absolutely right. And I mean, the reason he's able to be honest is there's nothing to hide. I mean, you know, he's done a great job. He understands that mistakes have been made in recent years, and he understood better than anybody that it was time to step away. He got it as he wanted it. He wasn't interested in the money and squeezing out an extra year. He wanted his friend and protege, Jed Hoyer, to have an opportunity to run the team. He got that, and, you know, I mean, he's lived his life the way he's wanted to, and everything's worked out great for him. We'll see where the Cubs go from here. He's left them in decent shape, but, you know, obviously their minor league system isn't spectacular. They haven't been able to develop pitching, as he's been honest about that. And, I mean, it's certainly been an interesting run. You know, he is part of the, I don't want to say problem, but part of the trend to go for the home run and the launch angle. Chili Davis was their hitting coach for a year, and he only stayed for a year. He isn't a launch angle guy. He's a guy, as the players, as the hitters, keep the ball in play. It's singles, high batting average, all that. I mean, he's now with the Mets. It worked out fabulously for the Mets this year in terms of their offense. Anyway, the rest of their team kind of stunk, but their offense was good. So Theo understands, and he's made some mistakes. And someone who's had that kind of success can admit their mistakes rather easily, and maybe he's the kind that could do it anyway. So, yeah, a lot to admire there. Great press conference, and I think he was completely honest as anybody can be in that situation.
He's also shrewd staying one step ahead, John. I think you look at the Cubs, and you alluded to it, but is it their expectation around baseball that they're going to take a step back. They're going to trim payroll. They're going to struggle a little bit as they sort of reposition themselves for their next run, which is hard to envision unless they make some major changes.
Yeah, they need to reboot. There's no question about it. It's interesting to see that not only did Theo Epstein have 1 year to go, and we saw how that ended, that many of their star players have 1 year to go. Chris Bryant, obviously, Rizzo, Baez, Schwarber, all free agents after next year. They have some big decisions to make. Seems like the conventional wisdom is they'll try to keep Baez and look at a trade for Bryant and Contreras, at least, and see where it goes from there. Now, the timing on a Bryant trade is abysmal. So there are a lot of very steep challenges that Jed Hoyer and company will have to make. And he's going to have a general manager to hire, so he's got some other big decisions internally as well. But they're not in a perfect spot. They obviously had a decent team, but as he alluded to, they weren't as good in the big moments as they were in 2015 and certainly in 16 in recent years. And certainly to be swept by at home by the Marlins was not the way that they wanted to go out.
You know, John, it's fascinating because we haven't really spent time talking to you about the White Sox, and we had a question this morning where we were talking about which team, you know, of all the professional sports teams in Chicago, now has the most predictability and the most stability in their front office. And I think you could argue that this transition to Jed makes it them, because Jerry coming in and kind of interrupting the White Sox with his Tony La Russa hire, and I really believe that's what happened, changes the way you view that front office. I mean, it's just a different type of situation.
Yeah, you could make that case. I happen to think the White Sox are on good footing. I know you worry all the time, Mully. I get it. I understand. I do think that Ron Jerry is very loyal anyway, and he's going to stick with Tony La Russa. No matter how this thing turns out with the DUI in Phoenix, it's obviously a very serious situation. He knew about it beforehand, so he knew it. He hired him. He's not going to let him go now that just because it's now become public, unless something else comes out. So Tony La Russa, in my mind, unless something weird happens, is going to be their manager. There are positives to Tony La Russa. He is a brilliant guy. He was at the forefront of the analytics, although it was just called statistics at that time or numbers. I understand it's a little weird situation. There's a lot of questions. There are people on the team who I'm sure are not only raising eyebrows or questioning the call. But I don't think this upsets the apple cart in terms of the team. They still have fabulous core. I think they're in a great position going forward. And, Mully, I hope you don't worry quite so much, at least in the next few years, until things turn south. I think that things are looking up for the White Sox. I think the Cubs, I think they're in good hands with Jed Hoyer there, but I do think they have some tough choices, and they're in a difficult position right now.
So if the Cubs are going to be active in the trade market, John, you talk about the White Sox, and so tell Mully, are they going to be active in free agency? Who's the big name that they're going to land?
Yeah, I do think they understand that they are close to a championship team, and that's why they change managers, even though they had a manager who finished in the top three and manager of the year. And I do think they are going to make some moves to fortify their pitching staff, and they're going to look at the rotation. I mean, obviously, the big question for every team within a big market is, can you go out and get Bauer? He's only going to go to one team. After that, there's quite a steep drop-off. There's a long list of pitchers. And certainly one of the other pitchers is more likely, but there's a long list of starting pitchers to choose from, and I think they'll, fortify their rotation as they can. In terms of their lineup, it looks fantastic going forward. So they're not going to need to have the best pitching in baseball to be a great team, but they do need to add to their depth in their staff and their rotation, no question about that.
John, you're the best. Take care.
All right,
we appreciate
it, buddy.
Thanks, John.
All right, hang in there. See you later.
That's our guy, John Heyman. And, I think it's fascinating to look at where we are in terms of our baseball in this town, all the franchises in this town, all the professional sports franchises in this town. We have to constantly be vigilant about and keep checking in on. And, you know, here's hoping that we see the right moves made from everyone. Not easy to do.
It's been a heck of a six-week period, though, hasn't it?
Oh, my God, you're not kidding. Hey, David, we are giving away my gift of the year, the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. We're going to be giving away one every day this week. We've already given a couple out. We've got one for you today, so make sure you stay listening. We'll tell you when to give us a shout, and when you call in, if you're the right caller number, you will win the gift of the year, the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. And God, I got to tell you, that thing is getting a workout. I got some new tubes yesterday. Looking forward to getting myself a Manhattan, David. How about that?
That sounds good. I need to get some new cartridges because I'm all out, so rub it in. I'll drink to that.
There you go. All right, we've got a ton of show for you. We're going to take your calls to 312-644-6767. No more Theo to kick around. Did anyone ever kick around Theo?
Not really.
Never. No. I think we all
felt. Try if you want.
Well, all right. We'll let Kebbo take a shot at Theo when we come back. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.